From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, started from news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Speaker Puan Maharani appreciates the electability of Indonesia to lead the IPU assembly. Minister Prabowo Subianto received Yusindo PACOM commander's visit. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news. Speaker of the Indonesian House of Representatives DPR, Puan Maharani, expressed her appreciation for Indonesia's electability to lead the 144th session of the Inter-Parliamentary Union IPU Assembly. At a meeting of the Governing Council in Nusa Dua Bali on Monday, Speaker Puan stated that she would take the opportunity to lead the 144th IPU Assembly transparently and inclusively. She further said that DPR recognized the importance of strong parliamentary diplomacy. She also explained that the parliament can bridge differences between countries and strengthen international cooperation. Speaker Puan also added that the world parliaments can also encourage the strengthening of multilateralism and reject unilateralism.
Hal ini sejalan dengan tujuan IPU.
This is in line with the IPU's objective, in which the IPU has proven the effectiveness of dialogue between parliamentarians to implement democracy, maintain peace, promote human rights, promote gender equality, and achieve sustainable development goals. Speaker Puan Maharani further approved that each country has its own interests and agendas, but she hopes that IPU members can also pay attention to the interests that become the common goals of the IPU meeting. I hope that despite we all have national interests, we are still facing common challenges. Speaker Puan Maharani is also optimistic that with the support of all IPU members, the 144th IPU Assembly session will run successfully. Indonesian Defense Minister Prabowo Subianto received a visit from the Commander of U.S. Indo-Pacific Command, or Yusindo PACOM, Admiral John C. Aquilino, and his delegation at the Defense Ministry in Jakarta on Monday. As reported by Antara, during the meeting, they discussed a wide range of issues such as defense modernization, including training and education, under cooperation between the U.S. Department of Defense and the Indonesian Defense Ministry, as well as the challenges in the South China Sea. In addition, they discussed the U.S. strategy in the Indo-Pacific region in 2022 and the latest development in the Russia-Ukraine war. In a written statement, Minister Prabowo Subianto praised Yusindo PACOM for its assistance to Indonesia in the fields of defense and humanitarian assistance. Member of Parliament of Kenya, Sofia Abdi Nur, to Voice of Indonesia in Nusa Dua Bali on Monday stated that Indonesian Parliament is considered to have good cooperation with the UN organization in Indonesia. With this good relation, many development programs in Indonesia can be implemented. Besides, Sofia Abdi explained that the openness between the Indonesian Parliament and UN organization has made all programs can be implemented and guaranteed accountability and can be ensured to run based on the track as expected.
There are many countries that are engaging properly, the UN and parliamentarians. If we take your country, for example, Indonesia, the parliamentarians and the UN organizations that are here are working very closely together, and they are doing a lot of programs together. And the program that are key and supported by United Nations, parliamentarians are heavily involved to know what is happening, how it is going on, what are the budgetary issues, what are the, you know, so there is a key accountability between the United Nations, the government and the parliament, the executive and parliament. So that shows an open system that easily one can audit what is in place.
Moreover, Sophia Abdindur explained that the Parliament of Kenya came to attend the 144th IPU meeting in Bali to see directly how the cooperation between the Indonesian Parliament and the United Nations is built.
That's why we are coming to Indonesia, so that we can physically and practically look at those best practices between the Parliament and the United Nations, so that we will be able now to see how they interlink and they work together as a team.
Furthermore, at the 144th IPU meeting in Nusandua, Bali in 2022, the Parliament of Kenya brought a number of issues to discuss, including issues of development, humanity, justice, and the promotion of women and youth. Besides, the parliamentary delegation of Kenya also brought up the issues of climate change, which was considered very important and dangerous. They want this issue to get attention, and they want the suggestions of Kenya and Africa wholly can be received at the IPU meeting. South African Parliament delegation Mapisa Ngakula encouraged developed countries to contribute to support the fight against climate change. This was conveyed by Mapisa at the general debate session of the 144th IPU meeting, with the theme of Getting to Zero, Mobilizing Parliaments to Act on Climate Change in Nusa Dua, Bali on Monday. In an interview with RRI World Service, she explained that so far, developed countries have benefited from a number of traditional natural resources from developing countries. Therefore, she affirmed that developed countries must also contribute when the world begins to think about the impact of climate change due to the use of fossil energy.
And my view is that, therefore, it would be proper that those who are in developed countries, who over the years have been benefiting from our coal, should now start assisting us to take decisions which are going to be favorable to us, but also to provide us with the necessary funding, particularly as developing countries.
Moreover, Mapisa Ngakula also urged socialization of the impact of climate change for the lower classes. She also said, there are still many people who do not care and understand the dangers of climate change. Mapisa added that the public deserve to know what is being discussed in the world forums, such as the IPU, and how the impact of climate change is on the environment. Indonesia has proposed some points to be adopted in the emergency item documents, which will be adopted by the 144th IPU sessions in Nusa Dua, Bali in 2022. In his presentation, Indonesian Representative Fadlizon stated in Bali on Tuesday that it's important for the IPU to have a resolution that affirms the historical context of the IPU formation as a parliamentary organization that aims at maintaining peace. He also said the resolution must also be accepted by all sides and made as objective as possible. Next, the role of the parliament as an essential platform of the IPU must be the hub of any efforts towards a peaceful solution to the Russia-Ukraine problem. He further said the global parliamentary community must support efforts to stall the war, defuse the situation, and ensure a peaceful resolution of conflicts. Besides, in the draft emergency items, Indonesia also encouraged to make dialogue and diplomacy the main approach in resolving any conflict to achieve lasting peace.
Dialogue and diplomacy should be the main approach in resolving any conflicts and to foster lasting peace. IPU is the cornerstone of parliamentary diplomacy, which has the nature to put forward flexible and soft diplomacy.
Fadli further explained that the fourth point proposed by Indonesia is to prioritize the safety of the Ukrainian people. He perceived that humanitarian corridors are needed to ensure safe travel for all civilians.
Humanitarian assistance cannot be postponed and must be conducted goes hand in hand with stopping the war.
Moreover, Fadli further stated that the last thing proposed by Indonesia is to urge the IPU to form a special task force to overcome the Russian-Ukrainian conflict. He added the IPU must take concrete and collective steps outside of the emergency items documents that will be legalized. He hopes that the resolution can become a strong foundation for the IPU to bring forward the IPU's parliamentary action as part of efforts to maintain international law, respect human rights and democracy. Let's move on to the international news. Japan reacted angrily on Tuesday after Russia withdrew from peace treaty talks with Japan and froze joint economic projects related to the disputed Kuril Islands because of sanctions imposed by Tokyo over Russia's invasion of Ukraine. As reported by Reuters.com, Russia and Japan have still not formally ended World War II hostilities because of the standoff over islands just off Japan's northernmost islands of Hokkaido, known in Russia as the Kurils and in Japan as the Northern Territories. The islands were seized by the Soviet Union at the end of World War II. Japan has imposed sanctions on the 76 individuals, 7 banks and 12 other bodies in Russia, most recently on Friday, and included defense officials and the state-owned arms exporter. Rescuers on Tuesday kept up with their search in the heavily forested mountains of China's southern Guangxi region for survivors of the China Eastern Airlines 600115 SS jet crash, with Chinese state media describing the situation as grim. As reported by Reuters.com, parts of the Boeing 737-800 jet were found on Monday strewn across mountain slopes, charred by fire after China's first crash involving a commercial jetliner since 2010. Flight MU5735 was en route from the southwestern city of Kunming, capital city of Yunnan Province, to Guangzhou in Guangdong Province, bordering Hong Kong, when it suddenly plunged from cruising altitude and crashed. Listener, now let's move on to commentary for today on Inter-Parliamentary Union and MotoGP Mandalika session from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. This is the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Here is commentary read by Rahmana. The title of today's commentary is Inter-Parliamentary Union and MotoGP Mandalika session from Indonesia to the world. Well, listener, there are two international events that have been and are currently being held in Indonesia. They are MotoGP Mandalika 2020 and the 144th session of the Interparliamentary Union, IPU. The 2022 Mandalika MotoGP was held at Mandalika Circuit, Central Lombok Regency, West Nusa Tenggara Province, from 18 to 20 March 2020. Meanwhile, the 144th session of the Inter-Parliamentary Union was opened on 20 March and will end on 24 March 2020. The implementation of these two grand events is of course a special note for Indonesia. While still facing the COVID-19 pandemic, Indonesia is still considered successful in organizing these two major activities. Minister of Tourism and Credit Economy Sandiaga Uno said that currently many world racing organizers are interested in holding a racing event at the Pertamina Mandalika International Street Circuit. Citing a press release from the Minister of Tourism and Credit Economy, Indonesia is considered successful in organizing a world-class racing event. Even the circuit, which is located in one of the Indonesian's 5 super priority destinations, is considered a circuit with the most beautiful views in the world. According to Minister of Sandiaga Uno, there are several international races that had paid attention to Mandalika. Another note was made from the 104th session of the Inter-Parliamentary Union session, which is held in Nusa Dua, Bali. Speaker of the House of Representatives, DPR, Puan Maharani said that the choice of Indonesia to host the event proves that Indonesia is trusted by the international community. Indonesia is considered capable, comfortable and safe in holding the 144th IPU. She explained that through the session attended by around 1,000 participants from 115 countries, Indonesia could play an active role in solving global problems. One of them is by offering solutions to deal with the Russian-Ukraine conflict. The cooperation between Indonesian Parliament and the United Nations also received attention from the participants. At least this was voiced by the member of the Parliament from Kenya, Sophia Abdi Noor. He said the Kenyan Parliament attended the 144th session of the Interparliamentary Union to be able to see firsthand how the cooperation is built between the Indonesian Parliament and the UN. Of course, this can be an additional note for Indonesia. It is hoped that the success of Indonesia in organizing these two international activities will enhance optimism, not only for the Indonesian people but also for the world community. The revival of tourism in Indonesia will certainly bring about a positive effect on the recovery of economic growth. The solutions offered at international meetings will make the world more peaceful and stronger. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listener, here is today in history. We start from an event on March 22, 1945, when Arabic League was established. Arabic League was established by six countries, namely Egypt, Iraq, Transjordan, Lebanon, Saudi Arabia, and Syria. Yemen joined in the league as member on May 5, 1945. Currently, the League has 22 members, but the participation of Syria has terminated since November 2011 as consequence of government's oppression during civil war of Syria. The League's purpose in 1945 was to strengthen and to coordinate political, cultural, economic and social programs of its members and to mediate disputes among them or with the third party. Moreover, signature of the Agreement on Joint Defense and Economic Cooperation on April 13, 1950, was to conduct coordination of military defense measures. In March 2015, Secretary General of the League announced that the establishment of Arabic Joint Forces was aimed at counteract extremism and other threats to Arabic countries. The participation in the project was voluntary and soldier only intervened at the request of one of the member states. Next event is about World Water Day. World Water Day is the commemoration which aimed to attract public attention on the importance of clean water and awareness for processing of sustainable clean water resources. The World Water Day is commemorated every March 22nd. The initiative of the commemoration was announced in the 47th UN General Assembly in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, on December 1992. Annually, the World Water Day has a special theme. The theme of the World Water Day 2018 was Nature for Water to Find Solution based on Nature for Water's challenging which is faced by us in the 21st century. The last event was in 2016 on bombing of Brussels. On March 22, 2016, three explosions occurred in Brussels, Belgium. Two occurred at Brussels airport and one at Malbec underground station. At least 34 people were killed and dozens injured. The Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, or ISIS, claimed to be responsible for the attack. Authorities stopped all air traffic bound for Brussels airport and evacuated the passengers. The Berlaymont building, a building near Malbec station and the headquarters of the European Commission, was immediately closed. Belgian police detonated suspicious objects around the Malbec station. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chokuyou shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Waqaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forco, the getting over bragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 virus durch richtiges Tragen von Masken. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Better in every day, but then I feel it that you'll be the only one. Well, sometimes it doesn't have to be so sure. The sweetest love can be so hard to find. We'll be better in every way. Sometimes the bitter of love can be so good. It's like a coffee with a rainbow's mood. Sometimes you feel off, but sometimes you feel right. Is it to be or it is not to be? To fall in love again, to be the one for me. Sometimes you fall, but every time we'll be together. We'll be mad in every way. Then I remember the story we went last September. Sometimes recalling things will be so good. Like a perfect cake that my grandma's made. But sometimes you feel it right. Is it to be or it is not to be? To fall in love again, to be the one for me. Sometimes you fall, but every time we'll be together. We'll be better in every way. To be in other space. Sometimes the bitter of love can be so good. It's like a coffee with a rainbow. It's like a coffee with a rainbow. It's like a coffee with a rainbow's moon. With a rainbow's moon.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that we'll present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesian President Joko Widodo attended the opening of the 144th Assembly and related sessions of the Interparliamentary Union IPU in Nusa Dua Bali on Sunday. On the sidelines of the IPU session, President Joko Widodo held a special meeting with the chairman of the National Assembly of South Korea, Park Byung-suk. During the meeting, he was accompanied by chairman of the Indonesian House of Representatives, Puan Maharani, Minister of Foreign Affairs, Retno Marsudi, and Indonesian Ambassador to South Korea, Gandhi Sulistianto. President Joko Widodo and Park Byung-suk discussed plans to increase cooperation based on the special strategic partnership that had been developed. The president also mentioned South Korea's investment commitment in the electric car industry and its ecosystem in Indonesia. Quoting the presidential Stuttgart ID page, during the meeting, President Joko Widodo said that he had attended the launch of the Hyundai Ioniq 6 electric car and marked the start of electric car productions in Indonesia. He also revealed that another Hyundai electric car, the Genesis G80, will be the official car of the G20 summit to demonstrate the cooperation between Indonesia and South Korea. The president conveyed Indonesia's readiness to continue to increase cooperation with South Korea in various fields, such as in the health sector, digital transformation, digital finance, and in overcoming disruption in global supply chains. On the same occasion, President Joko Widodo also expressed his gratitude to Park Byung-suk for South Korea's support for the Indonesian presidencies in the G20. According to the president, the Parliamentary Forum 20 or P20 can provide support for the three priorities of the Indonesian presidency, namely the world health architecture, energy transition, and digital transformation.
Merintih dan berdoa. terbang, terbanglah aku.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Hello, VOI listener. Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia. Listener, do you know there is an interesting tourism attraction in East Belitung, which you must visit if you are in the province of the Bangka Belitung Islands? Its name is Open Pit Nam Salu Geosite. It is a historical tourist destination for the deepest and largest open pit tin mine in Southeast Asia, which is about 100 meters. The Kelapa Kampit rock formation was formed 300 million years ago. This former mine operated commercially from 1980 to 1993 and has produced 500,000 tons of tin ore with a grade of 2%. This is the largest primary tin ore deposit in a single deposit which has ever been discovered. Heritage-based tourism in the open pit Nam Salu Geosite area is one of the points for the determination of the Belitung National Geopark as a UNESCO Global Geopark at the 211 session of the UNESCO Executive Council in 2021. In addition, this geosite is the only geosite in the form of an archipelago in Indonesia. Meanwhile, the Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy, Sandiaga Salahuddin Uno, assessed that the open pit Nam Salu geosite could be an alternative tourism in the mid of the G20 event in 2022. This could be a momentum for economic revival and job creation for the Belitung people. Belitung is indeed one of the locations for the site events of the G20 summit in September 2022. The open pit Nam Salu geosite is located in Senyubuk Village, Kelapa Kampit District, East Belitung, approximately 42 kilometers from HAS Hanan Yudin International Airport and about 35 kilometers from Manggar City, the capital of East Belitung Regency. To explore this geosite, you can walk or hike or ride a motorbike for approximately 600 meters accompanied by a local guide. Along the trek to the geosite, tourists can listen to the history of tin mining by local guides, breathe fresh air, and see monkeys and other animals that live there. Arriving at the tourist site, you will immediately see a large hole in the middle of which there is a beautiful lake and 700-meter underground tunnel below. There are also various recreational and entertainment activities, such as rock climbing, caving, and kayaking. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Di kota ini
Global listener, the next segment is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In this program, we'll introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Welcome to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian, a radio lesson on Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language that introduces the vocabulary and guides you to converse in Bahasa Indonesia. This program is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia and the Agency for Language and Book Development, the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is Kepada siapa, or in English, to whom? Next, I will give a sample conversation on kepada siapa. Kepada siapa, which means to whom. The conversation takes place between Kevin and Boris. Boris is Kevin's new neighbor. Boris asks for information about the person to whom the cleaning fee is paid. Let's listen to their conversation.
Kevin, kepada siapa kita membayar iuran kebersihan?
Kepada Pak RT.
After listening to the conversation, I will provide phrases and vocabulary related to today's theme, namely, kepada siapa, which means to whom. I will say the words two times and you may repeat after me. Kepada siapa, which means to whom. Membayar, which means pay. Iuran, which means dues. Kepada siapa kita membayar iuran? Kepada siapa kita membayar iuran? Which means, to whom do we pay dues? Dengan siapa? Dengan siapa? Which means, with whom? Siapa? Siapa? Which means, who? Dengan siapa kamu berbicara? Dengan siapa kamu berbicara? Which means, who are you talking to? In the conversation, you heard the question, kepada siapa kita membayar iuran? Kepada siapa kita membayar iuran? Which means, to whom do we pay dues? In that question, the phrase kepada siapa, which means to whom, is used to ask information about the person intended to do something. For example, kepada siapa kita membayar iuran? Kepada siapa kita membayar iuran? Which means, to whom do we pay dues? Another example, the words kepada siapa, which means to whom, can also be put after the topic of conversation to ask about the person to whom something is done. For example, kepada siapa kita membayar iuran? Kepada siapa kita membayar iuran? Which means, to whom do we pay dues? Or you can say, kita membayar iuran kepada siapa? Kita membayar iuran kepada siapa? Which means, we pay dues to whom? In addition to the expression kepada siapa, which means to whom, the question word siapa, which means who, is often combined with the word dengan, which means with, such as dengan siapa, which means with whom. The two expressions both ask about people. Kepada siapa, which means to whom, is used to ask information about the target person, while dengan siapa, which means with whom, is used to ask information about people who are with you in doing something. For example, dengan siapa kamu berbicara? Dengan siapa kamu berbicara? Which means, who are you talking to? Before ending Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian today, for more details, I'll bring you the sample conversation one more time.
Kevin, kepada siapa kita membayar iuran kebersihan?
Kepada Pak RT.
That was today's edition of Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian. Hopefully, it can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language. We'll meet again tomorrow with a different topic. Thank you for listening and sampai berjumpa lagi.
Andai aku bisa memutar waktu, aku tak ingin mengenalmu. Mengapa ada pertemuan itu yang membuat aku mencintai? Bagaimana kalau aku tidak baik-baik saja, terus mengingatmu, memikirkanmu, semua tentang dirimu. Bagaimana kalau aku tidak baik-baik saja, tak seperti kamu yang mampu tanpa. Bagaimana? Mungkin kini kau bersama yang lain, walau hatimu untukku. Adakah
cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chokuyō shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Waqaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Voorkom de ketting overdragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. In today's edition of Music Corner, I'm going to present a Malay song entitled Kain Lunggi by Wike Widowati. This song composed by Bulian Mustafa tells about Kain Lunggi. Kain Lunggi is a woven cloth which is used for various kinds of great events for the people of Sambas Regency, West Kalimantan. This song also uses the Malay language of Sambas. Wike Widowati's version of the song Kain Lunggi uses a new musical arrangement, which is different from the original musical arrangement. Well, listener, here is the Malay song Kain Lunggi by Wike Widowati. Enjoy the song!
Kain lunggi kebanyakan
Well, listener, it is time for me to sign off now. Stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Don't forget to check out our other social media accounts such as Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. I'm Putri Safidadala. See you on the next English program.